联大投票暂停俄罗斯联合国人权理事会成员资格。美官员呼吁北京汲取俄乌战争教训，武力犯台将遭国际制裁。美众议院议长佩洛西确诊新冠，亚洲之行推迟。大家好，欢迎收看《美国观察》，我是平章。联合国大会投票决定暂停俄罗斯联合国人权理事会成员资格。同一天，美国参议院通过两项法案，加强对俄罗斯的经济孤立。俄罗斯在国际压力下的处境是否也为中国上了一课？欢迎锁定今天的《美国观察》。联合国大会4月7日就一项由美国发起的将俄罗斯踢出联合国人权理事会的决议进行了表决，投票暂停俄罗斯联合国人权理事会成员资格。在联大表决前，乌克兰驻联合国大使谢尔盖·斯基利奇亚谴责俄罗斯在基辅郊外的布查镇骇人听闻的滥杀无辜平民。在联大的表决中，96个成员国投下赞成票，其中包括美国、欧盟国家、英国和乌克兰。24个成员国投下反对票，其中包括中国、叙利亚和白俄罗斯。另有58个成员国投下弃权票，包括印度、埃及和南非。七国集团的外长和欧盟高级代表4月7日就俄罗斯侵略乌克兰发表声明，对俄罗斯军队在布查等乌克兰城镇进行的屠杀给予最强烈的谴责，承诺将进一步强化对俄罗斯以及协助俄罗斯发动亲乌战争的白俄罗斯的制裁，同时还要追究那些帮助俄罗斯躲避制裁的国家和企业的责任。对于今年晚些时候将在印度尼西亚举行的20国集团峰会，莫斯科7号表示将会根据事情的变化来决定俄罗斯总统普京是否参加。美国财政部长耶伦此前表示，拜登总统要求将俄罗斯逐出20国集团，如果俄罗斯参加，美国将拒绝参加。在另一方面，五角大楼周三表示，勇敢的乌克兰人民能够赢得俄罗斯发起的侵略战争，而美国将确保乌克兰在努力达成外交解决方案的同时，能够继续保卫自己的安全。美国国会众议院议长佩洛西4月7日确诊感染新冠病毒，目前没有症状，正在根据疾病控制中心的指导原则进行隔离。其发言人称，佩洛西已经全面接种了疫苗以及加强针。佩洛西6日还到白宫参加活动，视频显示他当时没有戴口罩，站在拜登总统的身边。此前日本和台湾媒体报道称，佩洛西将率领一个国会代表团在4月8日抵达日本，与日本首相岸田文雄会晤后，于4月10日前往台湾，在台湾关系法立法43周年之际，展现美国国会对台湾的支持和对台湾关系法的重视。不过由于确诊新冠，佩洛西的亚洲之行将被推迟。乌克兰战争引发各界担忧，北京将效仿莫斯科的做法对台湾采取军事入侵行动。美国国务院和财政部官员先后呼吁北京从当前的国际局势中汲取正确的教训，认识到对台湾动武将面临严重的国际后果。有关详情，我们请美国之音驻国会记者李一华来介绍。一华。
好的，平章。美国常务副国务卿谢尔曼呢，星期三是出席众议院外交事务委员会一场有关于讨论美国在印太地区领导力的听证会上呢，在回答来自弗吉尼亚州民主党联邦众议员康纳利提问有关这个中国可以从俄罗斯和乌克兰的战争当中学习到什么样的信息时，他这个谢尔曼呢是回答了，表示他希望呢北京方面能够从现在的俄乌战争当中汲取正确的教训，不要对台湾采取军事行动。他表示说，如果北京对台湾动武的话，将会面临国际的严厉的反应。我们来听听谢尔曼在听证会上怎么说。
We want to try to make sure that the PRC takes away the right lessons. And I hope that what they have seen is that the United States has partners and allies throughout the world. And that we all believe in sovereignty, territorial integrity, and the right of countries to make their own foreign policy choices and decisions. That we believe in an international rules-based order that has at its base a belief in human rights, in making sure that everybody plays by the same rules. That if, in fact, we have said quite clearly that we believe stability across the straits is critical, that certainly no country should be taken by, not country, no entity. We see Taiwan, as you know, as a jurisdiction. We have an unofficial relationship with them. So we don't see in our one China policy that the mainland's taking Taiwan by force is acceptable and certainly doesn't lead to stability along the Taiwan Straits or stability in the Indo-Pacific. And so we hope that the PRC understands that any such action would see a response from the international community, not just from the United States, that most countries in the world, in fact, two UN General Assembly resolutions, 141 countries, 140 countries at the time of this invasion, premeditated, unprovoked, and unjust invasion by Putin, voted in support of Ukraine and in support of those principles and of the international rules-based order and the need for President Putin to bear consequences. So we hope the PRC takes the right lessons from that.
那么众议院台湾连线的共同主席来自俄亥俄州的共和党联邦众议员夏伯特在接受美国之音采访时也强调了，他也认为说这个他希望俄乌战争呢对于北京来说是一个警告而不是仿效的模板。那么夏伯特也表示说他认为呢美国将会坚定的与台湾站在一起，那么美国的盟友也会选择和美国一样来支持台湾。那么就在同一天呢，这个在众议院方面的金融服务委员会呢另一场举行的听证会上呢，出席作证的美国财政部长耶伦在被问到有关的问题时是直接的回答表示，他说呢这个如果中国对台湾采取武力措施的话，那么美国财政部已经准备好对北京来施加类似俄罗斯那样的制裁。我们继续来看一段这个星期三的这个财政部长耶伦出席众议院的这个作证听证会当上的片段。
Am I to hear from youthat you're open to all tools available in the event that China moves aggressively towards Taiwan?
Absolutely. I believe we've shown that we can. In the case of Russia, we threatened significant consequences. We've imposed significant consequences. And I think that you should not doubt our ability and resolve to do this, the same in other situations.
那么这个在众议院外交事务委员会的听证会上呢，来自德克萨斯州的共和党联邦众议员，同时也是委员会的首席共和党议员麦考尔众议员，他也在听证会上呢敦促这个美国常务副国务卿谢尔曼能够尽快的解决这个美国对台军售交付延宕的问题。那么在听证会上呢，议员和这个谢尔曼也都多次强调台湾对于美国这个战略地位的重要性。那么除此之外呢，我们也知道呢，美国自2009年对台湾的这个军售呢已经价值高达了这个超过300亿美元。那么就在星期二的时候呢，美国国务院也是宣布了新一波对台的这个对台湾的这个军售措施、军售方案。那么内容呢，主要就包括了价值9500万美元的爱国者防空系统技术的这个方案。那么国务院表示呢，这项这个军售措施呢，这项军售计划也已经向国会来进行了报备。那么以上是记者在国会方面所掌握到的有关情况。时间交还给主持人平章。
好的，谢谢易华在国会的连线报道。对于美国财长耶伦所说的若中国武力犯台，美国将对中国祭出金融制裁的说法，白宫如何回应？此外，美国的国会今天通过了两项议案，进一步加强对俄罗斯的经济孤立，对此白宫有何说明？我们请美国之音驻白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
是关于这个财政部长耶伦在星期三在国会听证会上的发言呢，我在昨天就询问了白宫国安会关于是否美国会因为台湾而来制裁中国。不过国安会当时的回应只有说呢，不加以评论所谓假设性的问题。但是呢，在星期四的白宫新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言沙奇就被问到了说，美国以及中国现在如此紧密的贸易还有这个经济的情况呢，是否能够让美国有办法放手对中国进行如此重大的金融制裁，就像美国对俄罗斯所做的那个样子。那么对此呢，这个沙奇是表示说，像这样子的事情呢，将会由财政部长来做出决定。我们来看一下沙奇怎么说。
We have sanctioned China in the past, as you know, for human rights abuses, and we have sanctioned a range of countries, certainly around the world. I would say sanctions have a range of purposes, including putting consequences in place, and where we are as it relates to the war in Ukraine is also making it much more difficult for President Putin to fund this war, and that is a huge priority to us. I don't have any predictions about future sanctions. I would leave that at the comments of the Treasury Secretary. Assessment that the Department of Treasury would have to make, but I don't have a prediction beyond what the Secretary of Treasury said.
是的，那在昨天的国安会的一个简报会上，我也问了国安会的资深官员关于制裁中国的问题，他就表示说呢，这个美国已经跟中国很清楚的表明过了，也就是说中国的经济能够繁荣，就是因为跟世界的经济以及金融体系相连结，而美国正是这个体系当中的核心角色。那美国呢也会，这个就是美国的筹码，而美国呢也会因为要捍卫所谓的国际原则而来动用这些筹码，所以呢美国告诉中国说叫你们要来这个尊重这些所谓的国际原则。那么在这个白宫的新闻简报会上，沙奇也表示说美国也持续的与中国进行各方面的这个联系以及对话，包括确保中国在这个对俄罗斯的这个制裁方面呢都有遵守。那么此外呢，现在还在美国以及墨西哥的边境有许多的乌克兰的难民等着进入美国。那么对此呢，沙奇表示说美国是欢迎乌克兰难民的，但是现在是因为新冠疫情的关系，有所谓这个 Title 42这个相关的这个健康法律的规定，所以暂时无法在边境上让这些难民马上进来。不过呢，预计在下个月这个疫情的措施放松之后呢，就可以开始接纳在墨西哥边境的乌克兰难民。那么此外呢，美国的国会参众两院通过了法案来禁止进口俄罗斯能源，并且终止与俄罗斯还有白俄罗斯的正常贸易关系。那白宫发言人沙奇表示呢，这个法案只要送到白宫来，拜登总统就会签署。我们看一下沙奇今天怎么说。
100-0, right? Yes. Yes, this is something the president supports, has called for, and certainly plans to sign it.
我们刚才也谈到了，就是联合国的这个大会已经通过了决议案，暂停俄罗斯在人权理事会的资格。拜登总统也在星期四的下午发出了声明，说呢他对为联大将俄罗斯踢出人权理事会而鼓掌。他说呢，这是国际社会有意义的一步。俄罗斯正在犯下有系统的人权侵犯，俄罗斯军队正在犯下战争罪，所以俄罗斯没有资格留在人权理事会当中。今后呢，俄罗斯就无法在联合国调查其对乌克兰人权侵犯时在理事会当中散播虚假的讯息。而拜登总统说呢，美国将会持续的支持乌克兰人民，并且要俄罗斯为其暴行负起责任。平章，
好的，谢谢姚毅在白宫的连线报道。
On this vote, the yeas are 53, the nays are 47, and this nomination is confirmed.
联合国会参议院4月7日以53票赞成、47票反对的投票结果通过了对凯坦吉·布朗·杰克逊法官出任美国最高法院大法官的提名。51岁的杰克逊将成为美国最高法院首位黑人女性大法官。美国副总统哈里斯主持了这次投票。欢迎继续收看《美国观察》。中国在上海等地坚持实行的动态清零新冠防疫政策，持续引发国际社会和公共卫生专家的质疑和批评。美国约翰霍普金斯大学健康安全中心的阿达尔加医生对《美国之音》说：“如今人类已经有了针对新冠病毒的有效疫苗和治疗药物，清零和封城的防疫措施就更加没有必要了。中国应该尽快地放弃这种一刀切的防疫手段，越快人民越早受益。”一起来看采访的详细内容。
I don't think they can justify the benefits, and I would even argue early on that the costs didn't justify the benefits because there were much better targeted precision ways to deal with COVID-19, even in the early days, because not all activities lead to the spread of COVID, and draconian authoritarian measures such as separating parents and children really never made sense. Now it's become really completely untenable.Because what we have now are more contagious variants like the BA2 version of Omicron, and you have a population that is starting to be tired of these measures, especially when they see the rest of the world opening up and being able to resume pre-pandemic life. It becomes harder and harder to justify these types of measures when we have vaccines, when we have antivirals, when we have monoclonal antibodies. So I suspect this is something that they're going to have to eventually abandon. It was not a strategy that was in line with the virus, because the virus is not something that can be eradicated or eliminated. You can't just wait it out. It was always going to come back at some point. And you would hope that they would have vaccinated their population to a high degree, but they unfortunately did not.
Look, we have been fighting the pandemic for over 2 years now. We here in the United States and people in many other parts of the world are now in the so-called new normal status. Now that we already have the tools of vaccines and medications to deal with the virus, why the Chinese are still clinging to a method that seems to many is unnecessary or unsustainable?
That's a big mystery to me, and I think it probably goes back to political reasons, that this is a policy that they've been executing since the beginning, and they don't want to move from it, maybe because they think they will be criticized for adhering to it for so long. But I think they need to do what's right. I think they need to change their policies to a more sustainable, targeted, precision-guided approach that relies on vaccines and other medicines and does not use these blunt authoritarian tools. I think they need to get to that level if they're ever going to be able to engage with the world, because there's always going to be a baseline number of COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. The goal has never been to eradicate a virus that's impossible to be eradicated. The goal is to make it milder, make it more like influenza. And that's what the vaccines, the monoclonal antibodies, and the antivirals do. So they need to drop their political posture regarding COVID zero in its success, because it isn't a successful approach. And it is something that they need to get rid of. The quicker they do, the better off the Chinese people will be.
Dr. Dalgia, if you were asked to advise the Chinese government, what actions do you recommend for them to take in Shanghai?
The most important thing they can do is encourage vaccination among their high-risk population. That's what's going to keep their hospitals from getting overwhelmed. That's something that's been lacking in much of China. The elderly population is not very well vaccinated. That's the number one thing to do. Secondly, I think they should stop trying to use very authoritarian means to enforce quarantine and isolation. This is a much more manageable infection. I think people can be advised what to do. We know that not all activities, for example, spread COVID-19. For example, outdoor activities, outdoor transmission, not a major driver of infection. People that are on isolation and quarantine can be outside and not have major risk to it. They need to be much more guided by the actual science of transmission instead of using blunt tools that treat every activity and every person as the same. They need to be precision guided, and they need to effectively use the vaccines, especially mRNA vaccines.
Do you think the Chinese president will hear from you if you say this to him?
I don't know. I hope so. I hope that they're open to taking the science on transmission and epidemiology and changing their public health policies in order to fit them. Because the Chinese people have suffered for too long with this pandemic. And I think that authoritarian measures are no way to perform public health. We have much better tools than we did in the early days, much more knowledge, and our public health policy should reflect that.
当今，真相为重，掌握全球脉动。只要点击 VOA Plus， 手指移动，信息即来，追踪政治动向，体验真实生活，世界各地的声音随时随地轻松获取。现在就下载 VOA Plus 应用程序 ，VOA Plus。
拜登总统在四月初为第十八艘弗吉尼亚级攻击核潜艇举行了正式的入列服役仪式， 并称该潜艇可以保护美国及盟友的安全。
This latest ship to carry the USS Delaware is part of a long, the name is part of a long tradition of serving our nation proudly and strengthening our nation's security, security of the United States of America, not just us, but our allies and partners around the world as well. In fact, it's already been doing that for some time.
中国正在面对新冠疫情出现以来最大规模的爆发，美国已经在一定程度上恢复了正常状态，一些州政府废除了疫情紧急状态令，但照顾急诊病人的医护人员依然对过去的那个最严峻的阶段记忆犹新。
He came in one of our many waves of COVID. Fortunately, he was not vaccinated, but is still on life support, and it's been on life support for now, many, many weeks.
Just how we were learning to deal with COVID, we were learning how to deal with the emotional toll that COVID had on everyone.
Good.
Roles were shifting, roles were reversed, roles were enhanced. I think it sounds so cliche-ish, but really the full understanding of what every member of your team does, I think, has made me personally a better doctor and a better part of the team.Just see an incredibly dedicated team of people that really think of themselves, not as, heroes, not as people that rose up to the occasion, but they were doing their job and they were doing it well.
俄罗斯因入侵乌克兰的行动而受到大量的国际制裁，其电影业也受到严重影响。五家好莱坞巨头已经停止向俄罗斯发行新的电影。
оцениваю эту ситуацию как крайне тяжелую, но не катастрофическую. С учетом того, что мы уже неоднократно проходили различные кризисы, каждый был не похож на предыдущий, мы рассчитываем, что будет все-таки диверсификация контента, мы рассчитываем, что будет рост российского кино, интереса к нему, и спустя какое-то время, надеемся, что не позже, чем через год, мы вернемся к показателям, на которых мы были до 24 февраля. Поэтому главный для нас вопрос – это контент. И наша задача сейчас собрать как можно больше разного кино со всех точек мира. И я уверена совершенно, что зритель российский будет не то чтобы привыкать, но он откроет для себя в этих фильмах совершенно новые смыслы, новые ориентиры. В остальном российский рынок был абсолютно открыт. Мы показывали вообще все в огромных количествах. Не существовало никаких запретов, никакой регуляции. И, конечно, возвращение в Россию для студий, можно предположить, что оно не будет простым.
Для нас сейчас закрыто развитие, да, то есть развитие в чем? Когда вы выходите на международный проект, то есть вы становитесь, допустим, частью проекта Netflix, проекта не российского, но вы делаете там часть работ. Для вас это очень большой стимул и толчок для того, чтобы развиваться и делать в том числе лучшее российское кино. А сейчас мы этого тоже лишены, хотя это была...
好，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，再见。
Wants to show the world that it means what it says, that it stands behind the principles that it has claimed to stand behind for years and decades, now is an opportunity for them to do so.